Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, so they don't. And we are very happy to have you with us. Don't forget that a backstage pass to our website, philhendryshow.com, you're not only listening to the show as you are right now, you are watching the show as you may on Phil TV and HD. And of course, you have all of the podcasts and access to an enormous archive, some, I don't know, 15 years, you know, 13 years worth of material, philhendryshow.com. Go on over there tonight, get a backstage pass and watch our video cast. And of course, we do have a full list of all of our affiliates that you can access us on as well. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and tonight we want to start off with a story that it's an interesting story from the standpoint of just the facts themselves. We also have Mr. Don Parsley is going to join us. He himself had experienced something like this, and that is escaped from a state prison, because we have a story tonight of a David Glenn Hobson is said to have escaped the Carroll County House of Corrections in Ossipee, New Hampshire, near the Maine border. He's an escaped prisoner. He's thought to be armed and dangerous and possibly out for revenge against two individuals. He scaled the razor wire fence on Thursday of last week. He's holding a grudge against two people, according to the Maine State Police spokesman Stephen McCausland. We warned them early, and we believe that they are now in a safe place. Mr. Hobson should, if he could and would, turn himself into authorities where he'll be safe. And so this can come to an end, said authorities. The expense that has gone into this and the stress, particularly to his family, can also end, said one of the marshals, a U.S. federal marshal, obviously, who's looking for him. Don Parsley joining us. Don, how are you tonight?
I'm real good, Phil. Thank you.
You're familiar with this, huh?
Yeah, I'm a little bit familiar with it. I had myself walked away from a work camp in Stark, Florida, some number of years ago. And
now, when you say you walked away, were you chained? Did they have a...
We had leg chains, yeah, but I had found a way to jimmy one of the links off, and that was a part of an overall escape plan that had been hatched by some of the prisoners that didn't go according to plan, and I was the only one that was able to use a... what it turned out to be a kind of a lever of a crowbar type device that broke the chain, because I noticed that this one chain had been welded improperly. So
was this something that you had planned for a long time?
Not really. I mean, I'd just been let in on the details of this thing, and when it come time to make it happen, I was the only one that got out.
So you walked away from this work gang, and where did you go?
Well, I hid mostly for the first probably 2 days. I was able to conceal my movement. And
what did you eat?
Not much of anything, really. I was able to get water. And to be honest with you, I found a garage full of a garage in a local residential area. It had a bag of dog biscuits that I literally stuffed my pockets full of.
You ate dog food, huh?
Yeah, dog biscuits. Yeah.
Milk bones?
Something like that, yeah. But that's kind of how that went. But then I was captured probably within about the next day or day after. Someone had spotted me, and I saw a Florida Highway Patrol. They saw me, they spotted me, and that was that.
Where did they catch you?
I was probably about 3 miles away from the camp, and I had gone behind this store. I was looking for something to eat in the dumpster there. I mean, I'd gotten how bad it was, and I believe someone had saw me, and they called the police. By the time I come around the side of the building, there was a local police, I think it was a local sheriff, and then come the Highway Patrol, or Florida Trooper, and then Florida Department of Law Enforcement.
So what do you think of this, Don? This man who's escaped from New Hampshire and is out on the run, and he wants revenge. Was that what you were? You weren't looking for that, were you?
No, I was just.
What were you doing in prison?
I'd been arrested for controlled substance for sale. It was marijuana.
So you were drug dealing?
Well, no, because it was really not my drugs. It was delivered to me. It had my name on it. It was mailed to me, to be honest with you, and I was arrested for taking delivery of this. I told them that this had something more to do with an ex-wife of mine than me, but they didn't.
Well, I mean, are you saying that you were not dealing drugs?
I'm not saying that I was not dealing drugs. I would not. I want to go that far, but the way it happened, there were probably a lot more people, much, much worse than me, should have gone to prison. They didn't. I was the one that took the full rap, and all I was doing was taking delivery. And I was going to transport this to a friend's house. So, you know, if you say, you know, I wasn't...
Well, you all right, well, they got you for your possession with intent to sell because there was so much of it, right?
Yeah, pretty much, and I had a lot of people lie about, you know, me on the stand. And
that's why, though, I ask you if there was a reason that you wanted to get out other than, you know, just wanting to get out. Was there a revenge factor?
No, not... I was, you know, at that point, I just wanted to get away from prison, you know, and see if I could do it. I probably, in my heart of hearts, knew I was going to get caught, but I, you know.
So how much time did they add to, what was your initial sentence?
I got 5 years, and they added, another, pretty much doubled it. They added another 4 years, I don't know what it was, 7 months.
And so they doubled your prison time?
Yeah, you know, and...
So, not a bright move, huh?
Well, it would have been if I'd have gotten away with it, but, you know...
Well, yeah, it's true. Coulda, shoulda, woulda, I guess is...
Yeah, but I think that, you know, I probably wouldn't do it again, but if I ever go back to prison, which I tell you right now I'm not gonna, but I wouldn't do it again, but I felt like, you know, if I hadn't been... A lot of times, you know, I wouldn't even be in prison if it wasn't for... this one ex-wife that I was telling you about, and then I don't think I would have been caught if it wasn't for some old lady who saw me. But that's just, you know, so that's why I'm interested in this story, you know, because this guy has escaped, and he's looking for revenge, and I don't think that that's such a good thing. I'd like to, it would be great if I could talk to him myself, you know, because I've been where he is, you know.
But he's burning with some sort of a revenge, according to authorities.
Well, I mean, I you know, you do get upset, you know, like that old lady that turned me in. You know, I was just going through the dumpster looking for something to eat.
Well, see, that old lady turned you in after you had escaped.
Yeah, but...
It's the same thing?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing. I mean, I didn't want to hurt her or anything, but I to this day, I feel a grudge against her for... saying what she did, and then I still have a grudge against my ex-wife, you know, for saying I was a drug dealer. I wasn't a drug dealer. She was the one that was drug, you know, dealing drugs and everything.
Well, all right, so you understand sort of what this guy's feeling, this grudge. What would you say to him?
Well, I would just try to talk him out of it. I would probably need, you know, access to a car. I'd be able to go and confront this guy or talk to him wherever he is, and some kind of transportation and other supplies and everything. I mean,
Well, I mean, have you offered this to the authorities?
I've called the Maine State Patrol, but I also wanted to get on a radio show here and say to him, you know, whoever this guy is, name's Hobson.
Yeah, the man's name's David Glenn Hobson.
That I've been where you are. I know how it feels to, you know, really want to be, you know, pissed, you know, excuse my language.
Go, that's okay, go ahead.
Well, be really pissed off at somebody, and you got to just kind of let it go.
Now, let's talk a little bit here, if I could, Don, and we're talking to Don Parsley, a man who escaped from a work gang in Florida, but was captured in a couple of days, and he had an extended jail sentence because of that, a prison sentence. Don is with us here. Our number, by the way, 877-876-PHIL. And we're talking about this man, David Glenn Hobson, who's escaped from a New Hampshire prison. And the question that I have is, this guy is said to be holding a grudge against two individuals. and he is said to be dangerous. So I'm going to have to assume that the grudge that this man is holding against these individuals is such a, is such that he would do them physical harm. And, you know, that can't be too pleasant a prospect. Now, is that the kind of grudge you're talking about?
Right. You know, I had an old lady when I was going through a dumpster behind that 7-Eleven looking for food, and now an old lady picks a phone up and calls the police. All I was looking for was something to eat. You know,
well, but see, you're holding a grudge about someone that turned you in after you escaped.
That's true, but nonetheless, the effect is the same. I was out, a free man, and then she did something to change that, and I didn't do anything to her. I wasn't going to hurt her. All I was doing was looking through it. I mean, if you can imagine looking through a dumpster looking for something to eat, and this old woman calls. So I felt, you know, I was angry. And as they took me back to prison, they asked me, you know, what was I thinking? And I said, all I can think about is that old lady. I said, you say that was an old lady? They said, yeah. I said, old lady, you know, is that, there's a Frank Zappa song, I don't know if you ever heard it, it's called Old Lady. And,
all right, but did you mean any harm? Did you mean to hurt that woman?
No, I didn't, but I was just burning with anger that, no, I didn't want to hurt her, no, but I did want to get out and just ask her why she would do that. Just confront her that way, that's all.
All right, so Don, what you'd like to do is you'd like to talk to this man, Mr. Hobson, and what could you do for him?
I can neutralize, I think. I know what's in his heart and why he's angry, and I could neutralize that by talking him down from it, because we've had a similar, you know.
Yeah, but this is a guy that's armed, dangerous, and it looks like he wants to kill. You don't want to kill that old woman.
No, I don't want to kill the old lady. I just wanted to say to her, look what you did.
Okay, but that's not exactly the same thing. You see what I'm saying?
No, it's not the same thing.
Because this guy wants to, according to police, he may find these people who did him wrong, and he may want to hurt them. And you don't want to hurt the old lady, other than, you say old lady, by the way, is that, you know who that was?
Yeah, it was an old lady. I mean, I saw her pick up her phone and look at me. I could see the reflection in her eyeglasses as she's staring out the window, all, you know.
Okay, so so you're going back to prison. You're angry at the old lady for turning you in, so you have to go back after you escape. This guy is pissed off at these people for sending him there in the first place.
That's correct, but I don't think it's such a different thing that I couldn't at least talk to this man, but I do need some funding, and I would like to, if possible, Mr. Henry, talk to you about that.
All right, well, hold on here for a minute. We're talking to Don Parsley, who escaped from prison and now wants to talk to this guy, David Glenn Hobson, to tell him, you know, turn yourself in. It's not worth it. Mr. Parsley himself claims to have borne a grudge against an old woman that called the police when she saw him going through a dumpster and turned him back into the police. So he's going back to prison. This guy Hobson is apparently looking for a couple of people that sent him there in the first place. Our number, by the way, is 877-876-PHIL. It's a very interesting story, and it's almost like one of those old-time black-and-white movies, you know? The guy's on the run from the police, escaped from prison. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Don Parsley talking about this escaped convict, David Glenn Hobson in New Hampshire, on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Don Parsley, a man who at one time was an inmate at a state prison in Florida, escaped custody on a work detail one day, and was eventually arrested by police a few days later. He's on to talk with us about the escaped convict David Glenn Hobson, who escaped from a New Hampshire prison on Thursday, is armed, is dangerous, is said to be looking for two people that he bears some kind of a grudge against. Police know that these individuals are safe. Authorities think that he's hiding close by, most likely in the woods of this prison. And Don Parsley is joining us right now. Don, I know you've stopped your car. Where?
Yeah, I've stopped my car up just off the road here. I'm in Tallahassee, Florida, and I this is an area of the Interstate 10 where I initially had hit, you know, from the prison that I had escaped from. And I'm just sort of going through in my mind, you know, all everything that I did, you know.
And, you know, you escaped from this prison, and you were in the woods, and then for 3 days later, though, you were captured because you needed to get food. So you'd gone into a town.
Yeah, that's correct. And there was nothing to... I'd gone to that one garage and ate dog biscuits, and obviously I wanted some better kind of food, so I went to this town, and that's when I knew the gig was up because the police pulled in. I saw this old woman. I knew it was her, and they told me later, yeah, an old lady had called in.
Now, you said something to me during the break. You said, don't worry, Mr. Henry. I know that given what I've done in my life, people are going to be afraid of me and probably will be reluctant to call and talk to me, but I can tell my story and...
Well, that's true, yeah.
Tell my audience what you meant by that.
Well, I mean, I went to prison and I escaped. You're going to have... a lot of people are going to be frightened of, you know, what I did and who I am, and I understand that. I will go and sometimes try to talk to kids and adult groups, and you can see they're just petrified because I was in prison. So I think one of the things that's tough about that is you can't really get any traction, you know, talking to groups and telling kids to stay out of prison. They're so afraid of me that they don't want to ask me no questions. So what I'm doing now is I'm offering myself up to go and look for guys like this, talk them out of it. But I need the money, you know. I don't have any money.
So you're looking for funding so you can go to New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And find this guy and talk him back to prison.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, so what kind of money do you need, and why are you've called my radio show to what, to raise that money?
I was hoping, yeah, that your audience or you would give me some money for this so I could, you know, try to help.
What prison were you in again?
I was in Florida State Prison.
That's the name of it?
Yes, sir. And it was in Tallahassee, and that's when I escaped from it.
And you were gone for about 3 days?
That's correct, yeah. And I know when I say that, you know, I bore a grudge against that old lady, that people think I want to hurt her. I don't want to hurt her. I just, you know, it makes me angry that an old lady caught me. I wish it was something more, you know, I wish it was something more substantial, you know, like a cop or something like that. But that's what happened, you know, and that's the way it goes.
How much money do you think you need to put together a search, this kind of a search for Mr. Hobson, talk to him and get him to turn himself in?
It's hard to say. Probably around, you know, I don't want to say, I probably about $50,000.
$50,000?
Yeah, because what I'd have to do is, you got to get a car, you have to get hiking gear, you've got to get camping equipment, you don't know how far in he is, loudspeakers, things to talk him out of the woods and get him to give himself up. I may have to bring along people, food.
What people would you have to bring along?
Well, I might have to bring along, for instance, a man of the cloth, a priest or a minister of some kind to talk into the bullhorn and tell him to give himself up if he's in the woods. We also have to have, I would think that we'd have to have some kind of media relations individual, because some of these news outlets could be pretty cruel if they're going to film you talking into a bullhorn, trying to get a man to give himself up, and they find out there wasn't anybody in the woods and you're just talking to yourself. That's going to come back on you, and the reporting makes you look like, you know, pretty stupid. So you have to have a media relations guy, and there's a lot of things. But
well, I mean, look, what this sounds like is a little bit of a stunt. I mean, I don't mean to.
No, sir, it's not.
Okay, but when you say that you need a media relations guy to go with you and a priest to talk this guy into turning himself in, it sounds like you now have an entourage, and it doesn't quite sound like the group of people that you would take with you to get a criminal back to prison. And this guy's dangerous. What if he has a weapon?
Well, I'm not really all that concerned about that, because having been in prison myself, I'm just not afraid of that, you know. You learn how to, you know, take care of yourself. But
Well, no, I mean, we'll learn how to take care of yourself. If this guy's got a gun, some kind of a weapon, what are you going to do?
I just, you know, deal with that, talk my way, you know, out of it. I mean, but you got to understand, it's stuff that you don't know. You haven't been to prison, so you don't know. And it's stuff only a guy who's been to prison knows.
And all right, so Don, you need $50,000 to outfit yourself and others to go and look for this man, Mr. Hobson, who means harm to two people. And you're not afraid if he has guns. You're okay with that. But you need the 50 grand, and you're looking for it either for myself or my listeners.
That is correct, yes, sir.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back with more from Don Parsley and this story of Mr. Hobson and how he wants to bring him into the Phil Henry Show.
Henry. Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Don Parsley from Tallahassee, Florida. You were in prison in Stark, and you say that you escaped and you were in Tallahassee, which is where you are right now, right?
Yeah.
You're on a roadside. What I'm hearing here, frankly, are birds and crickets.
Well, there's a kind of a swamp situation here, Phil. And
yeah, but is Stark, Florida, as far as I can tell, isn't anywhere near Tallahassee?
It's when you're on the run. Let me explain something, because other people have said that to me. When you're on the run from prison, and I understand that most people don't really understand what this is to be on the run from prison. You can run a long way and be all of a sudden just in another county. And, you know, so that's what happened to me. You know, I was just run, and next thing I know, I'm here off the I-10, and I'm in this swamp.
What caused you to go there tonight?
Well, it caused me to go here tonight. Probably just the memory of it, you know, and wanted to kind of redo it in my mind, in my memory. You know,
redo it in your memory.
Yeah, redo it in my memory to get to the what it was, you know, how it felt. Because I know that, you know, I want to go and find this guy, Mr. Hobson. And
well, you know what? What you're attempting to do here, sir, is raise money for a search of New Hampshire or Maine or wherever it is to find this Mr. Hobson. It's very likely the authorities are going to have him before you are able to get over there.
Yes, but they're going to be running the risk of a shootout if he's armed and dangerous. And I'm the kind of guy, because I've been in prison and I know what it is to bear a grudge. Not the same one that he's bearing, but the one that I'm bearing is more against the old lady that turned me in after I escaped.
And yeah, the grudge that you're bearing doesn't even seem like that much of a grudge.
Well, I mean, I don't know how you can say that. I'm an ex-prisoner, so it could be bad. You know, I could be probably, you know, it'd be bad. You know, if you got me, it'd be bad if you got me angry. Everything like that, you know.
All right, let me go to a phone caller. Number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Mavis in South Central Los Angeles. Go ahead, Mavis.
I'm listening to a man you have on your program right now who is an escaped convict.
No, I'm not.
He's not an escaped convict.
I'm not an escaped convict now, ma'am. I was.
Well, you used to be escaped.
Yeah, that's correct.
Well, the animal I'm hearing in the background, that's a field mouse, and I can hear it squeaking and everything. But you say you're out in the field someplace?
That is correct, yeah.
Well, the field mouse I'm hearing there is indigenous to Southwest America. You can't be in Florida.
No, I'm not in Florida. I'm in a place that reminds me of Florida.
And well, what do you mean you're in a place that reminds you of Florida?
What's that mean?
I'm in a place that reminds me of Florida. It's a swampy area off of the Interstate 10 in California.
Where about? What swamp? I don't know of any swamp.
No swamps out in the off of Interstate 10 in California.
What swamp are you talking about?
There is a golf course that's got a lot of mud and they too much rain. There's too many sprinklers.
There's too many sprinklers. So in other words, you're not in Florida at all. You're on a golf course that was they put too much water on it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I heard this man on the I know what, because I grew up in South Carolina, so I know what a swamp sounds like. You not out of swamp, because I heard two field mice that is indigenous.
Talking about indigenous what?
Indigenous field mice to Southwest America.
South America? I didn't
say South America.
She said Southwestern America. Where are you, man, really?
I said I'm in Palm Springs.
You in Palm Springs. So you not anywhere near the Florida, the prison in Florida, you said. You said you stopped off at Interstate 10.
Ma'am, I did stop off of Interstate 10. I came to but I'm in California.
And you said an old lady turned you in.
Yes, an old lady turned me in.
And you said you have a grudge against the old lady?
I have a little bit of a grudge against her. I'm not, you know, homicidal. But she turned me in and
I, you know what I think. I think this man is wants attention. I don't think that you are, was in prison.
Yes, I was.
You were in a chain gang. Did you really escape?
I did escape. I escaped in the sense that I didn't let them control my mind. Okay?
So in your mind, an old lady turned you in.
Well, I didn't say that either. But I was physically free, but I was also mentally free until the old lady turned me in, and I realized that there was always... That's what you don't understand.
What do you tell me what I don't understand?
The fact that I'm hearing your voice reminds me of the old lady on the phone.
So I remind you of the old lady to turn you in, is that it?
No, you don't. You remind me of the limits that life has.
Oh, what are you talking about, man? You're talking about the limits that life has. This old woman that I'm talking... Excuse me, Mavis.
That's all right, Bill. I am an old woman, but this man is saying that I'm reminding him of the old lady to turn him in. Isn't that right?
You know what I think? I think you're full of crap, okay?
I'm not full of crap. I will admit to you that the crickets are fake. I'm still in my car. All right, I'll turn them off. Turn them off. A friend of mine.
The crickets are fake.
I knew the crickets were fake.
The field mice and the crickets were fake. It was a friend of mine who runs an audio lab. How do I say this?
You know something, buddy? If you're going to call this show or my producer and tell everybody that you were in prison once, okay, and tell everyone that you want to find this other escaped convict and tell people about your experience, you could just do that straight up. Why do you got to fake the crickets and the field mice?
I was looking to somehow... All right, I might as well turn off the automobile effects, too. These are...
You're not even in a car?
No, sir. I apologize. I was hoping that it would be a quick 50 grand, and I guess it wasn't.
Were you ever in prison? Huh?
No.
So you thought you with a fake car effect.
That's not the worst of it.
What's the worst of it?
I was also the old lady.
What is this? Bud, who is this?
I don't know. The guy called in.
It's not his fault, Mr. Ennian. I was trying to make a quick dollar. I said to a friend of mine I could call in and say that I'm an ex-con.
And I also called up and I've done this for us, too.
Wait a minute. So, Bud, the old lady that called in.
I didn't take the call. Robert did. I didn't take it either.
So neither one of you guys took the phone call. All right, well, good for you, sir. That was very funny.
Well, I wasn't trying to be funny. I was trying to make, you know, some money.
You were trying to con me out of 50 grand using two fake voices and fake sound effects.
I don't think anybody's ever done it before.
All right, well, very good. You probably have a future in radio, you know.
Think that anyone would hire me?
Probably. I mean, you could probably do a morning show or something.
No, but the idea of doing fake voice and having people believe it, I mean, you did.
I did, yeah. I don't think personally it would work, no.
I don't think so either.
No, I mean, I think people are going to know you're doing a fake voice, but I think that, what do I care, man? Congratulations and good luck with your career, okay? Could I get a signed autograph? Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Hey, Bud, what is it with you, man? How do people like that get by you?
The guy, when you said that when you were going to talk about that, then a guy called in and said he'd been in prison.
Yeah. He sounded realistic and everything.
Why did he sound realistic? I'd be very interested to know. Why do you think the guy sounded realistic?
Well, because he said that he just sounded like he did.
Yeah, he sounded like one of those big white guys, you know.
Yeah, like a big white guy.
Like a big white guy who was on a chain gang in Florida. Is that it?
Dad, you almost belched.
Yeah, you go chain gang.
Okay, never mind what I almost did. Who was on a chain gang in Florida, right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for wasting the first 40 minutes of the show.
I didn't do it. If you look at the guy, it sounded real. You talked to him.
Yeah, I mean, you were sitting there talking to the guy and everything.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, see?
All right, fine. We'll be right back. 877. We got Chris Norton lined up next hour. Chris Norton will be talking with us about something very, very serious. Breast cancer coming up on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, David. What?
I thought it was very funny.
You thought it was very funny, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the guy called in, and you thought it was a real escaped convict.
Well, that might be, all right?
Maybe the audience thought it was.
No, I doubt it. I doubt it.
Oh, you doubt it?
Yeah, I doubt that. First of all, I didn't think the guy was all that funny, other than the fact that he's calling in with his fake old lady voice.
I thought that was real good.
Yeah. Tell him he's an escaped convict. He wants to raise 50 grand. What if people actually started sending money in?
Well, then I would have had to have said something to you, and we probably would have had a problem. But, fortunately...
Yeah, fortunately, nobody did. Otherwise, my ass is twisted in the breeze.
Well, watch your language. Well, watch your language. I've asked you about that, Phil. You know, you watch your language.
My ass is twisted in the breeze. If that guy calls up and people start donating money, we find out he's doing the fake old lady voice. He's got fake crickets. He's got fake...
Just like you said to the guy, no one's going to really buy that. Nobody's going to think that some guy doing a fake voice is going to get anybody to call in. So just take it easy. It's number two, okay? This guy, this Chris Norton that you got coming on, how do you know he's not going to pull one of those?
I doubt seriously if there's more people out there doing fake voices to try to get me to believe that they're really... an escaped convict or a guy who is interested in breast cancer research. And, oh, yeah, he's also in adult movies.
Oh, is that the guy's story?
Yes. And we've had a guy on before, so I doubt... Anyway, thanks a lot, David.
Don't you hang up on me.
Well, I'm hanging up on him. How about that? 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the Phil Hendry Show, and we thank you very much, Mr. Hall.
Well, yeah, I got to put him through.
I know you got to put him through. If you'll... Pardon the expression, put him through.
What does that mean? Like going to the bathroom?
Get out of here, you guys. All right. Newt Gingrich emerges as a clear front runner in Iowa. You know, I saw a thing on Twitter today, and it was a tweet from Alec Baldwin, the actor, who I know some of you enjoy and some of you hate, and some of you enjoy for his political views, but you hate his acting, and some of you enjoy his acting, but you hate his political views. Or is that what I said? Yeah.
Yeah.
Or some of you just love his political views, but you think, and you also like his acting. There's a lot of variables there. Anyway.
Where do you fall down with Alec Baldwin?
Where do I fall down with Alec Baldwin? Well, it isn't in bed.
I was going to say, you're probably gay for him.
Shut up. I don't think that his politics, I don't like his politics. But then, Alec Baldwin, I like him as an actor. Like him a lot. Always have. I think he's funny. I think he does drama well. That's got nothing to do with his politics. I just don't listen to his politics because it's forget it. I don't dislike the guy, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people, I mean, don't say because Alec Baldwin, you're like a liberal or something.
Yeah, he pissed off a lot. Remember the one time? Well, you was in that movie.
What movie? You mean Team America?
Yeah, and he said the Film Actors Guild fag.
All right, shut up. Yeah, that was Marcel LaMarche who did the... has a very good voice that, speaking of doing voices, that was Marcel LaMarche who did the Alec Baldwin voice in that movie. That was pretty good.
Yeah,
that was
the funniest thing about the movie, I think, when he said the Film Actors Guild. And then, what was the other one?
Yeah, how about Susan Sarandon going, you will die a peasant's death.
Yeah, it was a very funny movie, very funny. All right, very good movie, and you should see it and get it on DVD and all that stuff, because I do get a very small residual. And anyway,
how much money have you made on a residual on that movie?
That's none of your business, bud. God, man.
Well, I mean, don't you think people want to know?
People may want to know. I ain't saying diddly squat. How much money have I made in residuals on Team America?
Yeah.
I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there.
What, to the post office?
I'm not going to tell you how much money I've made. That's a rude question. You don't ask people those questions. Do you understand? Okay?
I just want to know.
I know you want to know, and maybe I'll tell you, but I ain't telling anybody. It's not a lot, okay? I mean, I'm not saying they're cheap, but...
You just signed a bad contract.
I just signed a bad... I mean, no, I did not sign a bad contract. It was a great contract, and I... All right. I'm very proud to have been in that movie. That's all I got to say. Shut up, bud. And you too, Robert.
What?
Yeah. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich now sits atop the Republican presidential field in Iowa with a clear lead over even his closest competitors, according to a new Washington Post ABC News poll. See, I don't get that, man. I don't get it. I don't see how that guy... I understand that his credentials are solid. You know, his conservative credentials are solid. But what I'm talking about now is a guy that's going to get elected president of the United States. I just don't see it, you know?
Yeah, but nobody's going to believe you after you did the doggy on Clinton
Giuliani.
Giuliani? You mean Rudy Giuliani?
Yeah.
Giuliani. Boy, you guys, I blew that call big time. There's no question about that. You think people are going to believe me? Maybe they won't believe me. I don't care if they don't believe me. Doesn't make any difference. I'm just giving my opinion. I don't see this guy Gingrich. I'm telling you, this has got nothing to do now, folks. You got to understand something. When you pick a presidential race, and I don't vote for guys based upon, I wouldn't vote for Gingrich.
Why not?
I wouldn't vote for him because there's aspects to this guy's, I don't know, I got, you know what? I need to hear him a little bit more because he did say something that I thought was good. He said, the immigration situation, he did make a concession that was rare for a conservative, I think. And it was almost like on the par with Rick Perry when he said, you know, if you don't provide educational money to even these illegal immigrant children, you got no heart because these are kids, they got to go to school. Newt Gingrich said something very similar about the overall immigration situation. I don't know what it was, but it surprised me because when I heard it, I thought, you know, that's kind of rare for a conservative. I mean, a lot of those guys are hardline on the immigration question. Nonetheless, this cat's going to have to do a serious, serious image boost, shall we say, to get anybody other than, you know, people that know him, Republicans, and, you know, middle-of-the-road Republicans will probably go for the guy, too, to a point. I don't know. But he needs a public relations, not overhaul necessarily, but a big-time boost. Anyway, Gingrich's emergence is only the latest in a series of dramatic news among the GOP candidates, twists and turns that have seen a series of contenders rise and then quickly fall back. But the former speaker has the benefit of seeing his boost come in the final weeks of campaigning before Iowa's January 3rd caucuses, which serve as the formal kickoff for the long nominating season. Man, I can't believe it. It seems like only yesterday they were doing that Iowa thing with Obama and all those guys.
Yeah, remember that? You did a really good commentary on that one.
Yeah, I remember that one.
What?
You were talking about, like, if the Democratic candidate was like a traveler's on a highway.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. And I said that Obama was the guy. Actually, this was in January of... I said that in January of 08, it was Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton.
Did you actually yawn?
I did, yeah. That's how relaxed I am doing this show. Hillary Clinton was a blonde in a sports car with shades on, waving to everybody. I said that Huckabee was a guy that was going to come into your house and see if you had a glass of water, and meanwhile he would rifle through your, you know, through your desk and try to find things out and maybe steal some money. Is that what I said? Yeah. I said that... somebody's campaign was on the on its last legs. I forget who. I said, well, McCain something. But I don't think that's quite the race that we have here. At 33%.
Yeah, it was pretty funny then, not now, that we are remembering it.
I get it, bud. At 33%, at 33% among likely caucus goers in the new poll, Gingrich runs well ahead of his two main rivals, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, long considered the front runner, and Representative Ron Paul. Yeah, but this is Iowa, man. It don't mean diddly. It don't mean, although, who won the Iowa for the Democrats? Wasn't it Hillary? No, it wasn't. It was Obama. That was the first time that she started to freak a little bit. I don't know what the, I can't remember now, man, whether she won. No, I think Obama won the Iowa. Anyway, Iowa Republicans are far from locked in. More than 6 in 10 potential caucus goers say they could still change their minds before the caucuses, and even among the likeliest caucus attendees, fewer than half say they have definitely chosen a candidate. Of the top three, Paul's supporters are the most solid, followed by Gingrich and Romney's. Beyond the leaders, only Texas Governor Rick Perry scores in double digits at 11%. Two candidates who've devoted as much or more time as any to the state, Michelle Bachmann and Rick Santorum, are in single digits. See, Bachmann, man, she can't even help herself, you know.
Yeah, I thought you spent a lot of time there and everything.
Who was the guy in Iowa that spent all that time? It was Huckabee, wasn't it? I can't remember, man, but the Iowa caucus was so big, there were guys that were spending, like, months there. Months! I can't remember. You know what? I'm going to have to look it up. We get back. We got Chris Norton with us here on the world-famous Phil. Are you looking up, bud?
Yeah.
If you know how to spell caucus.
C-O.
Never mind. I'll do it. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.